today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Bread for the broken.
Nothing will ever be perfect. Nothing. But we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about maturity, completion. You'll be perfect and complete. You will be spiritually mature. So if your goal, which I hope your goal would be to be spiritually mature, and let me tell you right now, the days in which we live, you need to be spiritually mature because there's a lot of nonsense out there, a lot of it.
Sometimes when we come to God, we can think, I'm just not perfect enough to be with God. And here's the truth, you'll never be perfect enough for God. That's why he sent his son Jesus. He loves you so much that he gave you a way to have eternal life with him. All you have to do is choose to believe. In today's message, Pastor James says that God isn't asking for you to be perfect, but he is asking you to be mature in him and to run towards him fully. He's a loving God who does anything for his sheep, so allow him to work in your life today. Now here's Pastor James in the book of James chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Why don't you just like, you can do anything. Why don't you just automatically make this stuff stop? Like, why not? And then he told me, James, you gain nothing from that. You gain nothing from that. If I just hit a switch and just made you into who I want you to be in an instant, you gain nothing from that. We're going to go on a process. We're going to go on a journey, and it's called sanctification. And it's going to be difficult. But if you just hold on to me, if you just trust me through this, then I'll get you to where I need you to be. What I love about that idea and that notion and all these verses that support this, you know, the Lord never, he's never going to abandon you in the process. He's with you. In fact, he even told his disciples at the Great Commission, he commissioned them to go and make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teaching them all the things that I taught you. In that, he said, lo, I am with you always. And part of that was like, not just like the encouragement to get the boldness to go and do what he commanded them to do, but also to endure all the trials and the testing and the difficulties that would come with that. He's like, I'm with you always, always. There's not a point in time in your life when you are surrendered to the Lord where he is like gone. If we understand the word right, like you are situated in his hand and he's got you. You're like, I don't feel him though. Okay, I understand that. But you're not always going to feel the presence of the Lord. You're just not. And sometimes through those times of difficulty in the trials, like, that's when he's silent. And you're like, that's the worst time to be silent, Lord. I need you to say something. I remember one of my heroes in the faith, Britt Merrick, and I've shared his story many times before, but I remember he was teaching on that when his daughter was going through cancer, who he ultimately lost to cancer. And, I mean, he's this pastor, and he's just tremendous, you know, his walk with the Lord. But remember him just sharing the story where he's just like, God, you're not speaking to me. I need you to talk to me. And he's just getting so frustrated and mad. And he decided to go trim his tree. And he climbs up in his tree, and he's trimming his tree, and he's angry at God. He's yelling at God, and then the tree branch broke, and he fell out of the tree. And then he's more mad at God. And then eventually he came to a point where he was just like, What I misinterpreted or what I missed in that whole thing, he's like, the Lord was always there with me. Yeah. He just was silent in those times. But he never left. And it's the same for you, because you might be feeling right now, if you're going through a time of difficulty or testing or trial, that it's like, well, I don't feel him. I don't know where he's at right now. He's right where he needs to be, and he's right where you need him to be. This walking, this life of faith requires just that, faith. To know, like, man, whether I had the feelings or not doesn't matter that much. It's what I know with confidence, this trust element of, like, I know he's with me. I know he's with me. I know he's going to get me through this. So I'll keep pressing on. Verse 3 and into verse 4, it continues on this endurance that he's talking about. So that your endurance, let me define that. Endurance means staying power. Steadfastness in the face of difficulties. You just don't, like, you know, you don't run away. And that's the tendency that we have, right? That's the temptation we sometimes face, is like when difficult times come, we just want to bail. We just want to run away. But here's the reality. You cannot run away. Well, number one, you can't run from the Lord, all right? Just so we understand that, okay? If you need scripture for that, I mean, I can quote you from the Psalms, or I can just say, read Jonah. Like, Jonah tried, and he failed epically. Like, bad, right? And we got a whole fish story, the best fish story ever, because of Jonah and him trying to, like, run away from God. But you can't run away from the Lord, and you can't run away from difficulties. Whatever trial or difficulty that, like, has shown up in your life and that you think, if I just bail now, that's not going away, people. It's not going away. And we're really bad at hide and seek when it comes to spiritual matters. Number one, you can't hide from God, and you can't hide from testings and trials. You just can't. So you need this endurance. You need this staying power. And it's like, I don't care what shows up in my life. I'm not going anywhere. And this is what James is talking about with this endurance. It's the ability to face these difficulties with joy, with joy. Or I'd say it like this, with that song still playing in your heart, with that song. The end result is growth. Growth can also be defined as develop or works. The point of the testing, the point of the trials is so, you know, and you need this endurance to grow, because that equals spiritual maturity within your life. But what I like about that little section there is James says, so let it grow. Now, it's New Living Translation. Yours may phrase it differently, but in the Greek, in the original, he's saying, you have to let this thing happen, which tells me, like, well, can I stand in the way of that? Am I standing in the way of that? Because this isn't like just an automatic thing again. So what James is saying, he's like, you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it. What he's saying is, like, get out of the way. Let it do what it needs to do. Stop standing in the way of what God wants to do within your own life. Let it grow. Well, how do I hinder it? If that's the case, and if it sounds like it's something that I maybe could hinder in my own life, then what would cause the growth to be stunted? I'll list some things, okay? Complaining. Complaining will derail your spiritual growth. In fact, it's probably the number one thing that will derail your spiritual growth. Complaining. You could also, within the complaining, or the one that followed right after that would be whining. Ugh, nobody likes a whiner, right? Like, nobody likes a whiner. Well, imagine being Moses and with the children of Israel and going through the wilderness. He's like, oh my gosh, I really got to lead these people through the wilderness. I don't even get to go into the promised land, by the way, if you know that story. He gets to see it from a distance. But what kept them out of the promised land? Whining and complaining, which ultimately is sin against God because they didn't trust God. That first generation that came out of Egypt. Grumbling, that's another thing that it's gonna handicap your growth in the Lord. It just is. Another thing is ingratitude. Not being thankful will hinder your growth, your spiritual maturity. And then one last thing, which may be, you know, I mean, you got complaining, which complaining just happens way too much anyways. Bitterness. Bitterness will hinder your spiritual maturity. I promise you. I'm telling you right now, if you are holding on to bitterness against someone, you are handicapping your spiritual growth. You are handicapping. You are not doing yourself any favors. And God will allow these tests to come in, and he's allowing these tests to come in and probably trying to draw out this stuff within inside of us. But when we hold on to that bitterness, man, you're just getting in your own way. You have to let it go. You have to let it go. I'm telling you right now, you have to let it go. They don't deserve it. You don't deserve it either. None of us deserve it. You have to let it go because it is not doing you any good. It's like trying to poison somebody, but you're the one drinking the poison. It doesn't make sense. So, and I'm not like, you know, saying that whatever somebody may have said to you or done to you, you know, isn't hurtful and harmful. Absolutely, I understand that. But if you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, you have to let go of bitterness. You have to. I would, like, plead with you from personal experience. You have to let it go. You got to let it go so that you can grow. That's how this thing works. The rest of verse 4. When your endurance has fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing, which is an interesting rest of that verse there. This endurance, again, remember that endurance is the staying power that leads to the spiritual maturity that we all need. We all still have a long way to go. But we want it to be fully developed. And God's plan with the testing and the trials and all that stuff that he allows in your life is so that your endurance is fully developed, okay? Fully developed means that it's all portions are whole. It means it's fully developed in every part. So God's plan for you is that you would be fully developed, the person he has created you to be. And I use that plant illustration. I don't even know. That wasn't last week. You guys shared your testimony last week. I'm looking at Ashton and Ashley. This is where my month has been, by the way. I think it was the week before that. I had like a plant up here, right? And I did the seed packets and, you know, what we just want automatic. We want automatic. You have to like put the seed into the dirt and then the seed has to surrender in order for the plant to grow. That's how it is. Well, you're the seed that's been placed in the dirt by God, okay? And you're like, it's dark and scary in here. And he's like, I know, right? So I'm going to dump a bunch of water on you, okay, so that you can surrender. But when you surrender, then you begin to develop. And his goal is that you become fully developed. But that takes time. And there's a lot that goes into you being fully developed or you being all that he has created you to be. It's not automatic. It cannot be automatic. It cannot. It has to take time. It takes a whole lot of surrender on your part. It takes a whole lot of water from the Word of God. And you can even go with the water from the Holy Spirit as him, you know, being represented as water. You need a whole bunch of Jesus, a whole bunch of the Word of God. You need a whole bunch of the Holy Spirit. And you need a whole bunch of surrender in your life in order to become fully what he has called you to be. But that takes time. But the result is you will be perfect and complete. Now, the word perfect always trips us up, right? Because some of us are perfectionists and it's the worst thing to be, right? Because you'll never be perfect. And whatever you do will never be perfect. And that's just like punishment, right? For those who are like, it's got to be perfect. Welcome to the endless cycle of the perfectionist, right? Nothing is ever going to be perfect, okay? From one perfectionist to maybe some other perfectionist, nothing will ever be perfect, okay? But it'll be close. Nothing will ever be perfect. Nothing. But we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about maturity, completion. You will be perfect and complete. You will be spiritually mature. So if your goal, which I hope your goal would be to be spiritually mature, and let me tell you right now, the days in which we live, you need to be spiritually mature because there's a lot of nonsense out there, a lot of it. I mean, you just pull up Instagram, TikTok, I mean, you name it, you pull up stuff and there's a lot of like religious nonsense that's out there. And as Christians, you need spiritual maturity. You have to, because you got to know, like, is this worth even listening to? And is this avenue worth like pursuing, or should I even follow that guy or dive into this or that, this study or that study? You need a lot of discernment, but discernment comes through spiritual maturity. And we need more of that today. And we're going to continue to need more of that as the days grow darker and as the Lord, his return is approaching. So when his return gets closer and closer, the scriptures tell us there's going to be a lot of confusion out there. So what you need is spiritual maturity. You need to be able to know how to process things. Take something in and be like, well, that's garbage, and toss that out. I'm not going to listen to that guy anymore. We need more of that, this discernment. But that comes as a result of surrender, patience, just trusting the Lord. The last little bit of this, he says, needing nothing or lacking nothing. Again, that just kind of like personifies the whole like spiritual maturity where you're just, it's not like you never need God, but you get to this place where you're spiritually mature, where you're able to like something. Again, James is having to write at this point in time, a lot of the false stuff hasn't risen to the surface, so to speak, with the church, but they were suffering a lot of persecution and they had their own challenges as well. But The goal is that like you're growing in your relationship with the Lord. You're never growing apart from the Lord, but you're growing closer to the Lord. That's spiritual maturity. And the closer you get to the Lord, you understand that like the closer I am to him, like I truly lack nothing. Like he's got me in all kinds of aspects. This concerning these trials, John Walvoord, I quoted him already, but he had a couple of good quotes concerning this little portion. He says, trials can be faced with joy because infused with faith, perseverance results. And if perseverance goes full term or fully developed, it will develop a thoroughly mature Christian who lacks nothing. They will indeed be all God wants them to be. And that's where it's like, we don't like the testing, we don't like the trials, but the trials are essential because you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, which means he's got to turn the heat up at times to draw out the stuff for him to skim that off. If you were to refine gold, that's how you would do it. Throw it into a container and turn the temperature up really, really high so that the gold will melt and then all the impurities would rise to the surface and then they skim it off the surface. And what you're left with is a pure product. And that's exactly what God is doing in your life. Now there's times where the fire isn't turned up that much. And those are good times. Those times we celebrate, right? We're like, oh, praise the Lord. But then he sends us into these seasons where he's like, I'm gonna turn it up. Because why? His goal isn't for like you to be just okay. His goal is for you to be all that he's intended you to be. And he doesn't make anything that's mediocre. Just read back through Genesis chapter 1. There wasn't anything that God made where he was like, meh, that's all right, I guess. Could have done better, but you know, I'm tired and whatever, right? That doesn't even come into his mindset at all. And if you are his poemia, his masterpiece, then that means that he's going to continually be working on you and in you and getting you to exactly how he wants you to be. There's a story about this poor little parakeet named Chippy. I think I've shared this before, but it should be repeated. This is from Max Lucado, his book he wrote, In the Eye of the Storm. He says, Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when the noise of the bird flying into the vacuum cleaner or being sucked into the vacuum cleaner kind of brought her attention back to where she was doing. The bird owner gasped. She put down the phone, turned off the vacuum. Thank you for that. Opened the bag and there was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Okay. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him, raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a reporter who had initially written about this event, I guess they did a story on it, contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. And I use that story as a silly illustration, obviously, but I think that's sometimes how we come into church. Like, the song's been stolen from us. And we just come in and we're just sitting and staring. And yeah, you've been through the ringer and I understand the difficulties of that and all that. You know, the thing about the parakeet or any kind of like songbird is the song. It's the song. The Lord allows the test to come into your life to strengthen you. And you have the opportunity to sing through the storm. But the reality is you have an enemy who wants to come in and steal that song away from you. So that you just show up and you're just sitting and you're just staring. And there's nothing left in you anymore. That's not God's intent. His intent is so that you would sing louder. And yes, the difficulties will come and all that stuff. And we don't sing, for the trials, but we sing through the trials. And he gives us these tests and trials so that we can grow stronger, so that we can grow stronger. So my encouragement to us is that instead of allowing the testings and the trials to steal our songs, you know, just keep singing. Sing louder. Sing louder. You're like, I don't feel like singing. Sing louder. Turn on some praise music. Turn on some worship music during those difficult times and sing along with them. Sing along with them. I am going to wrap it up with this. I know. That's the privilege of what I get to do. Those are my transitions. I'm going to wrap it up with this. I want to leave you with this verse. Because we're going to close out with worship, and we got our guys. They're going to be at the back of the room. They want to pray for you. If you find yourself in the midst of trial or testing, please know this. Yes, like the best thing for you is that you have the Lord with you. Okay. The bonus is that he has surrounded you with brothers and sisters who want to pray for you in the midst of those things. That's why this whole family community thing has been established by the Lord. So you don't have to go through life on your own, right? And there really truly are no lone rangers in Christianity. And so if you are going through a time of testing or a time of difficulty or trial, I do want you to take advantage of the opportunity we have. Like, we have people that want to pray for you, okay? Because if you need that, then there's no problem just asking for prayer. Like, man, it's just really rough right now. I don't know what God's doing, but I feel just like stretched, you know? So we want to pray for you. But I was reminded of this from Pastor Chuck, listening to so many of his sermons. And then I was reading through the word, and I was reminded of it again. And as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, this is what Pastor Chuck does all the time. And we have it on our wall back there, a reference. It's Numbers 6:24-26. And so I want to send you out with this as we wrap up with some songs here. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. That was what God gave to Moses and for Moses to give to the priest so that the priest could bless the congregation. And so I want to try to remember to do that as often as possible, but especially in the midst of a teaching or a sermon like this, I want to send you out with that as well, because I know that the difficulties, if they are there, you need to be reminded of that. If they haven't shown up just yet, they will. But the Lord knows he will bless you. He knows how to protect you. The Lord is smiling on you. He is gracious to you. And the Lord knows how to show you his favor, and he has given you his peace. And just one last reminder, doesn't get talked about a lot, but in the Minor Prophets, the reference is made that he sings over us. So you, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm, have the opportunity to rejoice. But here's the thing. In the midst of the trial or the difficulty, I can promise you this, your Heavenly Father is singing a song over you the whole time. So he's just saying, like, just join in with me. Hey, let's sing through this thing. Let's sing through this thing. So at all points in time in your life, when you surrender to the Lord, he has been singing a song over you, and he will until the very end. So come whatever may, we know that we can go into that thing with confidence in him, knowing like, okay, I don't feel like singing right now, but I'm going to sing. But I'm going to sing because I know I'm going to be okay. I know this is going to work out for my good, you know, for those who are loved or who are loved by him and called according to his plan and his purpose in Romans.
This has been Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. This program is brought to you by Calvary Galveston in Galveston, Texas. Pastor James is continuing a study through the book of James, which is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, and is addressed to the community of Jews that have come to follow Jesus as Savior. The early church faced opposition from all sides, both from within the Jewish community as well as from enemies like the Roman Empire. But James was encouraged by the trials that he and his fellow Christians faced, because those trials produce endurance and courage in the heart of the believer. You and I might be facing difficult situations in our lives right now, but the Lord is using those situations that we face now to prepare us for even greater trials down the road. But as we read in the Bible, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, we hope that today's message has been an encouragement for you. If you'd like to learn more about Bread for the Broken, you can visit us online at breadforthebroken.com. Once you're there, you'll find a link to the Calvary Galveston homepage, but you'll also find a link to our giving page. If you feel led to give to support the ministry of Bread for the Broken, you can do so there. We're so grateful to all of those who support our mission to help people find hope and new life in Jesus. Join us next time for another word from Pastor James right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humanity.